to the Sick and Successful podcast. If you're a business owner, work in corporate, or have a side hustle you're passionate about, you're gonna wanna stick around. Because I promise to ask the tough questions and talk about the things others shy away from. You know, what it's really like to own a business and be chronically ill. I'm gonna give you that push you need towards following your dreams and be the friend you come back to week after week to talk about the real things in life and in business. If you have goals and are working towards them, if you're determined to be successful, no matter what life's obstacles get in the way, this podcast is for you. Dream big and tune in. Welcome back to the Sick and Successful podcast. This is your host, Natalie Supes. And today I want to introduce Naomi Mendez Puget. I hope I'm saying that last name right. But she is the owner of The Cunty Coaching, which is a pretty decisive business name, if I do say so myself. And today we're going to talk to her all about that and even talking about where the business name came from, but all about what her mission in life is. She is unfiltered energy. She inspires, motivates, and she's a coach for women and queer entrepreneurs, leaders, and visionaries, all to stop them from settling. That's really her mission in life, is holding a place for them to help those people, visionaries, leaders, entrepreneurs, stop holding themselves back and barely even accessing their power or their joy in life or in business and family. And she helps them identify their authenticity, the truth, and keys and cornerstones of what they are all about. So Naomi is just like one of the coolest humans. She's got her own amazing style, and she's just like, just really a powerhouse and someone that I love being around and having conversations in. She's been featured in CBC, Voyage, MIA, and several other podcasts, and has her own podcast as well, Cunty Life and Business Realness. She's a certified Hello 7 business, money and mindset coach, and a Bare, B-A-R-E, certified life coach through Susan Hyatt. The holistic and feminist approach is part of what makes her coaching so powerful and so unique. Bye-bye, toxic hustle culture, and hello, Naomi. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited for this chat. Okay, let's get into it. All right. Welcome, Naomi. I'm so excited. So we were just chatting before Zoom or before we started recording. And I was like, we need to record now. So we were just talking about business being tough at the beginning of the year. And You were about to tell me about your dark night of the soul. So if you want to, if you are open to sharing that with the podcast, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, what a great place to start, because I've heard from so many entrepreneurs, like, and you even mentioned too, like, something really weird was up. Like Q1 was just so messed up for so many of us for so many different reasons. Yeah. And so in my dark night, like that's what I'm calling it right now, because it was literally just, I was sick. I was like more sick than I've been in a long time, like physically ill.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to hear that. But it's like
on vacation in Punta Cana.
Yes. 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 I remember you telling me about that, or I heard it. I remember hearing about that.
First part of the year.
Oh my gosh. It's like, why? Right? Like why? And I think, you know, our bodies try to tell us things and it's not always at a great time, but it's like, you know, we don't really have a choice at that point. We have to just kind of ask our bodies, like, what are you trying to tell me? What is this? What's going on?
Yeah.
And in order to do that, we have to kind of sit and listen to it. Right. And like, you know, stop trying to cram stuff down our throats and like take on more and do more, but we have to actually kind of let go of a lot of stuff and listen in and slow everything down, which for entrepreneurs and ambitious people, that can be so hard to do.
Yeah.
When we do that for enough time, right? And I'm not talking like taking a couple hours off to be like, okay, I'm listening. Okay, now, like, you know what I mean? We actually have to give ourselves, like, you know, for me, in my case, it was like a couple weeks turned to like a month turned to like, it's just been ongoing. It's not been a quick turnaround time, but it's amazing. Like when we start to step back and release a lot of things that we're like holding onto really tightly, we get some like inspiration that comes in sometimes. And so for me, this happened like a couple weeks ago. I had just kind of done that like surrendering to the universe thing and be like, okay, I'm open to suggestions, universe, because I don't know.
Yeah.
And I got this like this download, and it was just one word. It was visionaries. And it was like, okay, that's interesting. Tell me more. Like, you know, I got really curious about that. And then I was like, yeah, that's exactly who I love working with. So like that gave me a bit of clarity, because I had been trying to figure out clarity about who I'm here to serve, who I'm here to work with. And so that word gave me like a lot of clarity, and it made so much sense, because I see myself as more of a visionary type,
right,
of entrepreneur. So there are some entrepreneurs that like, they're so good at the execution, mm-hmm. and they don't necessarily have a big vision or anything. They right. just get to work and do the thing, and it works, right? Me, I'm more of the visionary type. So like I have the big visions, I have the dreams, I have the sight, but I don't necessarily have those execution skills.
Yeah, you need an implementer.
Right. My heart just like bursts open, because I'm like, oh my God, yes, because visionaries, we need community, first of all. Mm-hmm. It actually can be really lonely being a visionary, because people don't believe you.
Like, yeah, for sure.
Oh, that will never work. Oh, that's a crazy idea. Like, that's stupid, right? So it's such a lonely experience. And I was like, oh my God, yes, this is my lane. This is where I am needed, and where I can shine and support people. And this is who I need to work with specifically. Obviously, I love working with like any fierce, you know, entrepreneur, feminist, creator, anything. But like this idea of like visionary was just so beautiful for me. So I was like, thank you for the clarity on that.
And that's like, it's crazy how that happens. I was just telling you before we pressed yeah. record, but like yeah. in those moments, and I think, I mean, that's why only, and I don't say the word crazy in a bad way, I say it in a good way, but that's why only crazy people are entrepreneurs, because yeah. like any sane person would not be like your accountant
right.
telling you like you're not going to be able to pay your mortgage this month, and then right. be like, cool,
game on, like,
heck yeah, show me give me that motivation, baby, like I'm going oh, hard. But it is those moments in those low of lows, I find that yeah. like
yeah,
not that creative doesn't happen out of it, but it's like the aha moments, the downloads from the universe. It's like
yeah.
the creator, God, whatever you believe in, but just gives you that hit. And you're like, oh,
yeah.
okay, I wasn't listening, because I was hustling, yeah. hustling, hustling. Like I found something that worked and I was pushing hard. And like those tiny little nudges that you were put, you know, for me yeah. specifically in business, it's been, I love the business I've created, but I've created a business that can sustain itself mostly. And I did that for a reason. That's the way I wanted it to be. But now that I've done that, every time that I try to like put myself back in it and start taking some clients, or like
yeah.
the universe is just like, absolutely not. That's not what you, like, you're here to be a speaker and a writer and an author. Like,
yes.
why are you not focusing on that? And so as soon as I, like, this is literally what happened at Q1. I was like, let me take on a few clients so that I can make a little bit more. And
right.
then it was just like yeah. just everything imploded, which happened for a good yeah. reason. We had to let go of a few employees that weren't a right fit, and we had to
yeah
we actually restructured and invested in a new program to add more value for our clients. And I'm like almost finished my book, and I'm on more
wow.
stages than I've been on for a long time.
Yay!
So it's like those moments, but that is the reason that 80 something percent of businesses fail, because when you're in that like,
oh, oh my gosh,
I can't pay my employees and I can't pay my mortgage. Like,
yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. It's so, so scary. I remember just like laying in bed and being like, what is even the point, for like a day or two. And then I got up and I was like, let's go. Like I didn't.
Yes.
I actually looked on LinkedIn. I've mentioned this on the podcast many times, but when I get to those moments, I look and I apply for jobs and I'm like,
yeah.
nope, nope, nope. First of all, they don't want me and I don't want them.
I actually did. I do that too. So you're not alone, actually. And I think that's part of the resilience package, right? Like that's just, and I think that's part of the, like the good, crazy type of entrepreneur that we are, is like, it wasn't the, some, was it like Einstein or who the hell was it that defined like insanity as trying different things and like expecting a different result?
Yeah. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Well, I mean, like, entrepreneurship is kind of like that. I mean, you try different things, but also, like, you just keep trying. You just keep trying and you don't give up. And you just, like, it's wild, right? It's such a wild ride. And I heard,
especially visionaries, like you said, because that's even more. Like, I always, like, feel like I go between visionary and integrator, depending on the season of life I'm in, because I always have visions, but I struggle having a vision past like a year or two. And then I'm not the greatest integrator either. Cause like details, I need to hire people who are good at them, but then I'm so really picky and like nitpicky. So I don't know. I always say I'm kind of like a mix of both.
You're an ambivert.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship.
Literally an introvert and extrovert, and I'm a visionary and an integrator. But
that's so funny.
Visionary role, like you said, it just like you even have to be a little bit more insane because you fail so much. You fail so much, and nobody believes in you. And hearing the negative side, I just like it's just tough.
Yeah. You're on the tip of the spear, so to speak, that you're often like you see gaps in society or you see things and you want to fill them and you want to create and you want to improve society. And that is not an easy task, right? Like this is something that has been a through line for my life. It's like, I'm like this innovator. I always have things that I want to make better or like ways that I want to change the culture or something. It's like, girl. Can you please just do something regular? Just be regular, damn it. I can't.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love it so much. Oh. I want to talk a little bit about your business name. So Cunty Coaching, that's like so memorable, so divisive. Thank you. Where did it come from? What is your hope with it? Tell me more.
It is quite an incredible entity of its own, right? But it came from me and it came from situations in my life that I had overcome that I thought really helped make me resilient and make me like successful as I define it, right? So my definition of successful is ever evolving, but it's not necessarily the one that society says, but I pulled into these stories of like what I've been through. I've been through a lot of things. And I kind of picked out some of the traits and the qualities that those situations either required of me or, you know, made me be. So for example, like the C in Cunty is courageous, right? So Cunty in itself is an acronym. So it's courageous, unapologetic, notable, transcendent, and you authentically. And I think those traits are what came out the most when I think about resilient people or successful people, especially in marginalized identities. So for example, I'm queer, I'm a genderqueer woman. And these traits have been key for me to stay afloat, stay motivated, stay on track, stay well, stay focused in my life and all of these things, right? These are the traits.
Yeah.
So that's one part of it. That's the one part of it is that it really did come from my own self-reflection. The other part of it is I had originally heard the word Cunty in a Beyonce song. Okay. It was from her Renaissance album. And I just had this thought come through that was like, why are women called cunts? Like, what does that mean? And what is really in that?
Because for me, that's like the one word I would never, ever, ever utter or call someone or no matter. Like I think I've called one person it and that person she doesn't live in a great place in my mind.
Yeah. Right. And so, and I've had a lot of people, like not a lot, I've had a few people come to me and like really try to dissuade me from using this in my business. And I understand their hesitation, but they don't understand because I'm using this word. I'm reclaiming this word because actually it has incredible roots, like incredibly empowering roots. And so what we know of the word today is so far removed from its roots, and it's been used, and that's on purpose. Like it's been used as a weapon specifically. So this is where I got really curious. I'm like, okay, who gets called cunts? And I was like, it's always a woman who's like standing in her power. I don't know if this is what you would say about the person in your mind, but like,
no, but
no, but usually, yes. Right? Like I think about in the workplace, like
when somebody's
right?
when people just throw it out there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's usually a woman who is like boundaried, who is not taking any shit,
yeah,
who is powerful, who knows what she wants and asks for it. Like, and I think these are incredible traits. I want us to be more cunty in our day-to-day lives. Like us women and queer folks and people who are historically marginalized, we've been so subdued and like oppressed that actually it is our time to be more cunty. And so that helps me understand where it came from and the history of the word. And then the acronym is actually like the guide to like how we can take back our power and like liberate ourselves more in society.
I love that so much. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so tell me a bit more about what you do in cunty coaching.
Yeah, thank you. So I help people with that process, right? That process of they know they're made for more. They know that they have dreams, they have ambitions, or maybe they even know that they're not being their fullest expression of themselves, that they know that even they in their own body or spirit or mind are capable of more. It's not always external things. A lot of the times it's internal things. So like I love working with people in their like identity and their authenticity, what's true for them, because I think our society just loves imposing our own ideas of what's right and what's wrong. And there's so much like internalized shame, especially in like the queer community, especially in women, like body issues. There's so many ways that we like are shamed. So we just cover ourselves or we just try to change ourselves. And so my work in the world is to reverse that and help people like really liberate themselves and be more of their true selves, especially in business, because the business world, for me, I'm seeing that it just feels so oppressive in a lot of ways. And it feels very like you do this way and you don't do this. And how about let's just have a bit more liberty and a little bit more liberation in business as well to do things in a way that works for us. And that's what connects me so much with your mission, because sick and successful, like we want to be able to be liberated and do things on our own terms, right?
Yeah. It reminds me of a book, one of our clients right now, but it's just like, it needs to be a New York Times bestseller and you got to read it, but it's called Soulbatical.
Okay. And I'm Soulbatical?
Soulbatical. Yeah. And I'm going to,
I love that.
She's actually the former CMO of Harley Davidson. But
amazing.
The whole book is about being a rebel soul and like how rebel in corporate as a CMO of Harley Davidson and just like left to have a Soulbatical because she wasn't fulfilled. And I just finished her listening to the book on Audible, and it just gives me shivers thinking about it, because in corporate, in business, it can almost be easy, quote unquote, to fall into networking communities where you forget that that is still a thing in business. Because like, I felt that way for a while. I'm like, yeah, we're doing so good. Like, heck yes.
Yeah.
Like, we're changing the narrative. And then I went into a few other communities that aren't all marginalized people and women. Yeah. And I was like, oh, like I've been on a couple Zoom calls in the last little while where I'm sitting on a Zoom call, like with a smile on my face, but like it's taking everything in me to not press the end button without saying anything, because I just can't be mansplained to. And like, it's slowly shifting for sure. There's more of us cunty women speaking up and like, for me, my mission is sick and successful. For Shelly, her mission is rebel soul. Your mission is cunty.
I love that. Yes.
You're so aligned, because it's the alpha woman saying, hey, you don't have to be alone in this anymore. Like, I am not your stay-at-home mom type, and I love my kids more than anything in the whole world.
Yeah.
I could never sit here every day with them. I would. It's my mental not, health wouldn't make it. I wouldn't make it. I hardly did during maternity leave. Like,
Yeah.
And I've known that since I was a little girl. I remember thinking, I want a briefcase and I want to be downtown. I never dreamt of ever. I actually remember telling my mom I would never give birth, because that sounds terrifying. it was a great experience. I loved birth, but like I remember being young and not wanting to do it.
Right.
So like what great missions that we're on.
Right.
They're not easy. Like they're, you know, it's a big mission, but I'm glad that I'm surrounded by women like you. And so many fierce people making a stance for this. And it's really cool. I love it.
Yeah, I'm so excited that you also have your book in the works. Almost like your first draft is almost done, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I don't know how much I talk about it because it's so just like a soul thing. Yeah, I've got almost like 57,000 words written, which is like bigger than a regular book, but there's still lots more to write, and then editing and developmental editing and all that stuff. Hopefully by the end of this year, next year. It's crazy. It's crazy because there's stories in there that I was literally just talking to my husband, and I'll share this on the podcast because you guys are family. But like about sexual assault that nobody in my life knows about except my husband and maybe a friend or two. And I wrote the chapter and I got so violently sick, like minutes after finishing getting it out, like exorcism sick. Like, I am pregnant. Then I am doing morning sickness, but this wasn't that. But this was like literally the courage. Devil coming out of my body. Like, it was crazy. Wow. And now I'm at this point where like I wrote the chapter, have never read it again. And include it because my family's going to read the book. And like, what if, you know, but writing a book is.
Yeah, I feel it. And I'm the book that is coming out in May is a co-author project. So I wrote one chapter and I even went through a lot of those ups and downs because it is a very storytelling based.
Oh, I love
it. And so I know exactly what you're saying. And while I didn't write about sexual assault that I've been through, because I guess it just didn't occur to me as like relevant to the storyline that I was telling. But anytime I've spoken to an author or heard an author speak, they've always been more happy that they did share the story because it positively impacted someone or some people. Yeah. And especially with the rates of sexual assault.
I know. And
they
are
so
like,
high. Yeah. And
my experience, I can guarantee you he would deny it because I don't know if he was doing it.
Right.
Even though I said no very clearly many times and whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, so let's get off that topic. Yeah. What's on mental health?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just to finish off, I just think it's so brave and so cunty to tell our stories in service of others. You know, it no matter who it's gonna upset or whatever, like if it's a story that's in service to others, that is so incredibly brave and powerful, and like that's the stuff that changes the world.
Exactly. Oh, I appreciate that. Like, let's talk about mental health because I know you struggle with mental health, and that's something that not a lot of entrepreneurs talk about. So are you willing
rarely
like the journey and how it's been affecting you and your business, where you've gotten to now?
I don't talk about it often either because I literally forget. Like, even though I take medication every day, like I know it, but then I forget because the entrepreneurial world is so quick to be like, mindset is everything. And you can like mindset your way out of everything. And like, if you don't, then you suck. Like, it's just, and so I end up like a lot of the time, like gaslighting myself, not on purpose, but just because of the culture. I think it's incredible to talk about it because so often, and I'm sure so many people feel this way too, is like, it's one of those invisible illnesses that just kind of gets really gaslighted really quickly.
Yep.
So I've had generalized anxiety and depression for all of my adult life, for sure. And probably further back than that, but I don't even know. And I didn't really know about it at that time because, again, it's like, it's been so stigmatized. And my family, like immigrant parents, that's not something they would have ever talked about or whatnot. So I also had a concussion in 2014. And I think that kind of like helped me connect with a doctor that finally kind of helped me get the diagnosis also. I think that's how that happened. That's definitely how the medication started. I probably dealt with the anxiety and depression a lot more. And like, I saw therapists on and off and like tried to kind of bumble my way through early adulthood. But then finally, after that concussion, because I think it just like exacerbated everything, I finally got the diagnosis and got on medication. And also, I just remember in my previous lives, I was a student midwife. That's like my first kind of career path that I started. And I remember being in placement where I was like practicing as a student midwife. And then I had a senior midwife kind of mentoring me. Mentoring is a very generous term. They were really not being very kind mentors. I remember one of them said, like, if you have anxiety, you're never going to make it in this profession. And wow. Like, you know, I don't care how right she thought she was. Like, I don't think that's ever, that's never okay to say.
No,
it's never okay to just literally count someone out based on
an illness,
any kind of illness,
exactly.
Period. Right. Yeah. Because what was happening was I had to jump through hoops upon hoops upon hoops to try and get some accommodations. Do you remember like back in school to like go through the process of like getting accommodations? Like, yeah, you're getting gaslit. You're getting questioned. You're getting audited, like all these crazy things, doctor's notes, all this stuff. So I went through all those hoops. And then even on top of that, they were so mean about it and just trying to tell me that, like, you know, in the real world, you don't get accommodations and like, you're never going to make it. Like, it was just terrible. It was so terrible.
Yeah.
Love midwifery. Didn't love that experience. Okay. Right. The two are separate in my mind. Okay.
First.
So yes, obviously I didn't continue with that path, but I'm never going to say it's because of that ever. I'm going to say it wasn't the right career path for me. And I've just been on a search of like the right, most right path continuously.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of pivots along the way. And that's just the type of person I am. I'm not the type to like pick something and just stay in there forever just because. Like, I'm going to just keep trying to be in most alignment. And that's also what I help other people do, you know, coincidentally or not. But that experience just sticks out so much in my mind. And so I feel reverberations of it try to come up in the entrepreneurial space. And like, no one has said that to me,
mm-hmm.
but it just feels sometimes like not the safest space, the entrepreneurial space, for someone who has
issues. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's still so stigmatized. And even like, I mean, my mom, bless her heart, but like, she even says like, don't say that. Like, don't say that you have a mental illness. Like, people are not going to want to work with you. It's terrible, right? Yeah. It's so terrible because when I do show up for my clients, I show up like,
of course,
big fucking time.
And almost
right?
Better because you've gone through the struggles. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Like, I can relate to people on a level that many people cannot, right? And I am empathetic on a level that many people are not, right? And these are my superpowers. It just so happens that sometimes I need more rest, or I need to unplug, or I need like a lot of self-care, or I need a lot of sleep. And the entrepreneurial space is not the most supportive of all of these things, right? Yeah. It's like hustle and sacrifice and like push and grind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is where I am. So, so I just want to talk about it because I don't hear it being talked about enough because people think that their reputation is going to suffer or no one's going to want to work with them or whatever. And I just want to abolish all of that. And I want us to talk about it more and normalize it because those mental illnesses that I have, they don't affect my client work. That's the thing that maybe people don't understand.
Well, it would be like saying that my Crohn's disease affects my client work. Like, maybe if I have to jump out of a Zoom call for 10 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, that's really it, you know? Or maybe I have to reschedule one day, but every human does. Like, we all have things going on for, it's, and especially like you, like I said, but you said you're in the beginning is like, you're in the beginning of this business, but you've had other businesses in the past.
Yeah.
And you've been successful in your own right in whatever you're doing. But when you're starting a new startup, whatever it is, ultimately or not, you kind of have to hustle. Like, you can't you can't start a startup and then just hope that it's successful. Like, that's not going to work.
Right.
That leads to mental health, whether you have a mental health illness diagnosed or not. Because I remember when I started SNS, like 15-hour days, and then I'm just like, it's not working and it's just so stressful. But you don't hear that. You hear a lot of people like me where I'm like, I work 2-3 hours a day and I don't have Fridays and whatever. it wasn't like that from the beginning. And like, that's the beauty of entrepreneurial space, is that if you get through it, you can create, and even at the beginning, you can create the life that supports you and your illness and your life and your family. But there's just like, there's negative sides to it that people don't talk about because it's not glamorous. It's not like, it's not fun to talk about the stress and the issues and like the stigma around if you're doing it any different than somebody else's.
And that's, thank you. But it has been so tough because I've just been trying to like do it the way that most people have done it. And I just burn out so hard and it flares up my illness. It gets me sick. And it's just like, okay, so now I'm on this journey of like redefining what business can look like, even in the beginning stage, because I literally can't do the 15-hour days. I literally can't do a lot of the things that people say that you need to do. So the way that I am needing to find and try now is a slower path. Yeah. Because for me, the fast and the crunch, like that doesn't work for my nervous system and my mental health. So I literally like have no choice but to find other ways. And I know that that's something also that like you talk about with a lot of your guests in different ways, is like being creative and like finding different ways to be successful. And that's the beauty of it, is that it can look like what we want it to look like. And this is a lesson that I wish I had someone explaining more to me, because not a lot, again, full circle, not a lot of people talk about mental health implications. Yes. And if they do, maybe they're not someone who already has mental illness. So this is what I'm realizing, is like, I can't negate it. I can't ignore it and just pretend that like I don't deal with those things. Yeah. And I can't just keep burning out and being on this like burnout cycle over and over, because then it really stops the any momentum that is building. It like could make it even worse if I have these like big burnout moments. So all this is to say, I hope that someone is listening right now and says like, oh my God, this is actually like something I needed to hear. And it's kind of scary to say it, because a lot of people who do want the fast and do want the hustle and like want the quick growth are going to really hate what I'm saying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and, but like, who cares, first of all?
Even
just like for me, I was in the depths of postpartum anxiety when I started SNS Creative. Like, it was bad. I mean, it never gone away, but it was really bad. And I say that I was 15-hour days, but I did once a week because I was taking a coaching program on top of like the work I was doing on my work day. So I'd have someone watch my daughter. But the other days, I always had strict boundaries around it. I pretty much never worked Fridays. I went to a Nordic spa at least once a month. So like there was so many things that I did that I had to. I had like there was, and I hired someone within my first month. I hired a VA within my first month, because like to this day, people are like, oh, I do it all by myself. Like, I don't trust anyone. I literally, a call that I was on, I'm hustling all by myself. Like, it's all me, because nobody can do it as good as me. And it's like, okay, maybe, but why don't you train them? And like, aren't you burnt out? And aren't you like, did you build your own cage? Like, we don't have to do
that. Exactly. Yes. Yes.
So what's been working for you to like, I know that it's been a tough, or Q1 was a tough season, but now that you're kind of coming out of that, what's worked for you or hasn't worked to make sure that you're taking care of yourself?
It has been really surprising how much harder it is than I thought it would be to just like take good care of myself, like do a lot of self-care and like slowing down, because this is the hardest part about my brain, is that I want to speed up and I want to do and like and then it's like, okay, but actually like you can't, because it's gonna flare up everything. So so like forcing myself to slow down and to do some things that like there's no rhyme or reason. It's literally just to relax my brain and to like whether that's reading or whether that's like playing a game or going out for a walk. Like my workaholic brain is like, oh, whatever, you can do that later. What's the point? You know?
Yeah.
Or like sitting out on the hammock has been like, is one of my favorite things to do, but it's like, you have to get over the mental hurdle. That's like, oh, I'm just going to go out there and just lie on the hammock. Wow. Nice life that you have. You know what I mean? The internal critic is so loud because I've been learning so much about how our society is set up and how valued productivity is and how much society hates anything that seems like laziness, right? That is so internalized that now I'm just like consciously having to like deprogram that and just keep reminding myself exactly what you said before we got on this call was like money follows joy. The more rested I am, the more myself I am, the more clear my mind is. Yes. Yep. And that's not just lip service. Like that's really true. And like if I take some time to fucking paint or draw or read or whatever, I will come back to the work with such a better like headspace and mindset that no amount of like hustling could possibly give me.
Literally what I preach about on stages, because
it
doesn't come from hustle. There's no way.
Right.
You can't be creative in that state of burnout. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's so important. Okay, I'd want to touch on how you moved from the States to Lisbon, Portugal, and why you did that and how that's going. So tell me a little bit about it. Because I feel like, so nobody knows where you are. I just picture this beautiful beach behind you and just like.
Yes. Oh, it's a dream. So actually it's Canada. Yeah, I lived there.
But I knew
that. We're both from Canada, right? Yes. Okay. Yes. Amazing. Yes. So I lived in the Toronto area my whole life. My parents, they're from Portugal. And then they moved over to Canada when they were young and had us and everything. And so I lived there my whole life, grew up, everything. And I never really thought about moving. Like that was never a thing that I really thought about. I loved Canada. We're so like lucky and fortunate in Canada. But COVID-19 just like, it must have just flicked a switch in my mind in some way that I didn't even know about. And then I came to Portugal on vacation after things started opening up again. And again, when we're at rest, right? When we're like out of our normal day-to-day routine, when we're like not stressed, boom, like some inspirations can come through, right? So I was on vacation here, visiting family and whatnot. And then I just like a whole body, like intuitive hit kind of thing. And it was just like, you need to move here. And I was like, that's interesting. That's an interesting one. Like, okay, changed my whole life. Got it. Understood. Like what? And then I had to tell my husband because he wasn't with me at that time. He was back home. I came back and kind of told him, and he was like, thought I was literally insane. I am insane in a lot of ways. I am. Yeah. He was really like, what are you talking about? Whoa, this came out of nowhere. But then he quickly kind of came around and got really excited about the idea. Whatever Canada had for me, I guess I had already had it. I don't know. Like my heart just led me here. And I had been dreaming, right? Visionary. Dreaming for so long of like living closer to the ocean. Again, I never really thought about Portugal, even though there's lots of ocean here and family and all of this stuff. So we did it. We just decided, we like bravely and cuntily like sold our house, and my daughter was 2.5 at the time. So we thought like, you know, it's a good time. If we're going to uproot our lives, at least you'll have the best chance of like integrating into a new life. It's amazing. So this is really what I'm learning, is this whole like redefining success type of thing is like, right now I'm not yet like raking in dollars, but every day I have the option, and I do like walk by the ocean.
Yeah.
Or like just day-to-day things are so much more like accessible, and there's just so much more family culture here. Like people genuinely want you to have kids and like want you to bring your kids places, and like it's acceptable. Awesome. You know, back in Canada, I felt like it's a little bit restrictive, and like, you know, things are very expensive and all this stuff. But here, it's just the weather is even beautiful. So like you can spend more time outside. And these are all things that were part of my real definition of success. Right. Yeah. And so that's been a lot of what my mission here has been like figuring out what my definition is, not anyone else's.
That. Yeah.
Which so I know we say it often, but it's only when we really give ourselves time and listen and like go deep that we can actually hear, right? Because a lot of times we're hustling and you can't be creative when you're hustling. So you're just like, okay, I'm just doing the thing because I'm just going after this like very specific goal or whatever. And sometimes we miss the other nudges of what our soul actually wants.
Breath work is so important to me because it's that moment.
Yes.
Shut up.
And yes. Just
like and listen.
Just, yes.
Yeah. What is your
so good? There? He is a podcast editor, actually.
Oh my gosh, awesome.
Yes. So that's part of also like what was so beautiful about this move is that he was able to change career because back in Canada, he was so like ingrained in a career and it wouldn't have been an easy thing to just walk away from, you know, but by physically changing our location, it was an opportunity to like that's interrupt, awesome. You know, and he's so much happier working for himself and doing the podcast editing and all
that's so awesome. And does he speak Portuguese? Yeah.
Not yet. He's working on it. He's working on it. He learns a bit by listening. So he already understands a lot. And it's just like speaking Portuguese, it's not easy. It's not an easy language. It's not an easy language to master. Portuguese people like just conveniently leave out a lot of like syllables and like.
Totally. And what about your daughter? Has she started learning how to speak Portuguese?
So So she goes to like the public daycare here. You know, so I really relate to you a lot with that, like bring her to daycare and thank gosh, she loves it. But I've had to like physically like release a lot of like any type of guilt or anything that tries to creep in. I have to immediately shut that shit down. But I'm so glad that she loves it. And the culture here is just more chill, which is really nice. But like, I have to get used to it as a Canadian, you know, like we're used to like things being more rigid and more like here the teachers can like hug and kiss on the cheek. And awesome. I'm like, I actually love it. Like I really, I love it so much how people aren't like always walking on eggshells here. Like people are so much
more. She's in a home daycare because I was like, I looked at the teachers and I'm like, no, I'm good. No, thank you.
We have to find what works, right? The amazing thing is that I just never would have known. I think this is what I meant by like in COVID, there was like a switch that got flipped because until then it was kind of like business as usual. Yep. You're in your life. It's going along, chugging along, right? You're doing the life thing and it takes something like COVID-19 to stop us all dead in our tracks and make us like sit with ourselves a little bit. And
that's why I preach like that like being sick and successful sometimes in those most life-changing crazy hospital moments where like loved one passes or you are bankrupt or your house catches on fire, whatever, those moments are like opportunities to reset if you take a moment to listen, like grieve of course and go through all of that, but also that really puts life into perspective. That's where I realized like hospital bed where I was like, corporate life, what the hell am I doing? Like not a single coworker has called to see if I'm okay. I've been here for 2 years with a perforated bowel. What am I doing still working? Like what the actual, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Those moments. And like COVID-19 did that for so many people. That's why resignation, right? Because what are we doing? Like, let's redefine success. Let's redefine the societal narrative because success, its definition is literally wealth, health, and whatever accolades. Yeah. But like, is it? Because health, yes. But wealth, how many wealthy people commit suicide?
And I think we undervalue our relationships too. Like, I think in the wealth and entrepreneurial space, like it seems like relationships is always what tends to like suffer in the equation. And living here has given me an opportunity to like, that's one of my strengths actually is relationship building. So I've kind of just been able to like lean into that a little bit more and realize that actually, like, if I don't maintain my relationships, that actually has a huge, huge effect on my mental health. Cause then I start to feel alone.
Yeah.
And that just is not a good place to be. So, you know, I think there's room to like redefine what relationships to nurture, maybe not just any relationships, but not to just put them as second or, you know, like wealth first and then relationships. I think like just being a little bit more flexible to see what you personally need and what really support you and all of this. One thing I was going to say about what you were saying about those moments in time.
Yep.
I've been learning a lot about cycles and feminine energy and like things like that, because again, business world is very masculine. So I'm like, I've been needing to kind of just understand more about the feminine and not feel so like scared of it.
Yeah.
And so I've been learning, it's such a good book, Women Who Run With the Wolves.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Clarissa Pinkola Estes, I think is her name. It's such a good book. And she talks about like the cycle of death and rebirth. So I think what made me think of this is like those moments in time and the grief that you're talking about, like in a way that something died there, right? Yeah. Whether it was an actual death or whether it was like a piece of your identity or like your work that you were doing, like something dies. But the law of nature is that also there is birth. Yeah. So like we can't forget that part. We can't like just do the death part and then just like kind of blast through and just keep going. There is opportunity to find some birth in there, some new aspect, even if we have to go looking for it a little bit, which sometimes we do, right? Yeah. Sometimes we have to search a little bit for like what that new seed or that new thing is. But if we do that, that's completing the cycle. And it just like gives us so much life, so much meaning and beauty when we do that.
Totally. I love that. I love that so much. Last thing I wanted to touch on is you hired RVAs. You and I think it's such a like important thing to talk about because you did it really early on too, like in the struggle. So can you tell me a little bit about like that decision, how it's been going and all of that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So I had heard about virtual assistants and I was just waiting until I could make it happen. Basically, it was like as soon as I could possibly make this happen, this is happening. I was getting to a place where I had tasks on my list, as entrepreneurs do, right? Like there are things we need to do to make the business happen and to make it run. Yeah. And I just felt like it was draining me. And it was like getting in my way. And these tasks were not necessarily the ones that like needed to be me. Like I don't have that problem like some people do that they need to control everything. I am a recovering perfectionist that I am going in the other direction. I'm like, take it and I'm really chill. Like I like as long as my message is right and it's getting out there and like that's what matters the most. And so I was getting so bogged down with these freaking tasks. And I'm a millennial, but like tech sometimes just is the bane of my existence. Ask anyone ever. And they'll say, yeah, Naomi never has the link. She never knows where to fucking go. I don't know why, but I just like me and tech is an interesting relationship. Sometimes I love it. Sometimes I'm like, what the actual, I can't understand you. So it's just a combination of all of these factors. I just knew. And then it was just a matter of getting some income to cover the expenses. And the only thing that I needed to learn then was like what to delegate and what not to. And even now I'm like, and what do I need to delete? Because a lot of things I just was adding just to add. And I'm like, I actually don't need to be on 5 different platforms at this point. Right. You know what I mean? Like there are certain things that I do need to just delete. And that's something I'm learning in the beginning stages of this coaching business is not to overdo it. I don't need to overdo it. I just need to do it.
Yeah, totally.
Not overdo it, but having the support, it's just been amazing. And it's the best feeling ever to like see things actually get done and have consistency. It just feels so good.
That was me too, right off the beginning, even though I didn't know where to find a VA and I found one. And it's why I started the VA agency, because it's like, it's so stressful to hand it off, but also feels so good when like the things that have been on your to-do list forever are actually getting done and people are holding you accountable to it. It's
It gets to a point sometimes where we could even lose, and this is part of burnout, right? And this is what happened to me back when I hired your agency, was like, sometimes you get to a place of burnout where you don't even want to do it anymore. You're questioning. Totally. You're like, why am I doing this? I'm just doing admin tasks all day. Like, make this make sense. Because like you said, like, did I just make my own cage? What did I just go do? Right. So we don't want to get there. If we can help it, let's not get there.
Yeah.
Let's stay in our zone of genius, our zone of like just loving what we do, working with clients, like the joy.
Yeah.
And get the support for the other pieces of it, right? Exactly. So that we're not just so bogged down. That's how I felt, was just like so bogged down by everything.
That really is like the point, so that we actually come back to joy. And yeah, there'll be moments of not wanting to do it. I think every entrepreneur goes through that. It's pushing through and finding ways, whether that's hiring a VA for 5 or 10 hours a month, or it's deleting the tasks one way or another. You figure it out.
Or both, exactly. Both are good too.
Exactly. So we're coming up to the end, and I kind of want to roll the metaphorical red carpet out for you and see what you got going on, where people can work with you, where they can find you. Any last thoughts?
Oh, thank you so much for that invitation. I am accepting a one-to-one client right now. So this is for someone who has some goals or just knows that they're not their best selves right now, and they want to be more of that. They want to be more vibrant in the world. They want to achieve said goals. They want to work towards their dreams. They want to feel more aligned, authentic, fired up, vivacious, like all of those juicy feelings that sometimes we just lose sight of and we lose it. And I think this is a perfect time for that kind of guidance, because we're getting out of the winter and now it's like, okay, we're ready to like rev some things up and get to know who we really are, right? Because a lot of times in winter, we're just like, I'm just shutting everyone out. Yep. I'm just
hibernating.
I'm hibernating. Don't come to me for no coaching because I'm just sleeping. But I'm like, you know, I'm opening that spot up. So I have a link for an application if people feel called and like would love that kind of intimate support, either, you know, with their business, with their life, and just honestly, like a mix of everything, right? That I kind of touch on everything when I work with people. Cause again, I can't stand when they just get separated. It's like, no, we have to make sure our life and our business are in alignment. That's what I believe, like really wholeheartedly. So there's that. I'm also, like I mentioned, the book is coming out in May. So I have an opt-in form for like a wait list where I will give people the behind the scenes details and like first opportunity to like get in on the book launch. We're going to have two launches. One is the ebook, and then the other one is like the physical copy, both in May. Awesome. So I'll drop that as well. And honestly, also like I'm still working on the Kunti retreat. And so if one of your listeners is like, oh my God, I need a retreat. I need to get more Kunti in my life. And I want to do it with other badasses who are on this journey as well. I'm working on a Kunti retreat in Portugal. And so I would love to invite, if someone like is really feeling excited about that idea and wants to learn more, get in touch with me, or there's also an application link for that as well, so that we could book a call and talk more about it.
Yay, I love it. And everything will absolutely be linked in the show notes below, so you guys can go check it out. Thank you so much, Naomi.
Thank you. This has been such a pleasure. I just love talking about the things that people don't want to talk about. It's my favorite.
That's it. Totally. Remember, dream big. It's possible for you, and your next version of success is around the corner.